Okay, good morning, everyone. Well, actually, good afternoon, almost, because the morning's almost over. There's only a few of us left in the room, but dedicated, I think. Well, let's try and make this as cozy as possible. Can you hear me okay? Okay, generally when I train musicians and orchestras and so on, I always explain why I'm here. And this time I'd like to do the same. And so why I'm here, of course I am very grateful for being here. I'm here because I deeply and truly believe in opening doors, which is the theme of this event. Why? Because I feel that we, when we connect with ourselves, when we are with musicians like we are here now, we truly have an opportunity to open doors. And let me explain what I mean and what I'm getting at. You'll be wondering what I'm going to talk to you about and where I've come from, but basically, don't want to give away the ending, but it's about the potential in opening doors. So when I say that I deeply believe in being here and in our ability to open doors, it's because I truly do believe it, and that you, as soon as you leave this room today, will be able to change things and do things with your musicians, your orchestras, wherever you may be. Let me explain briefly today's presentation, and I will try and be brief. I'm actually supposed to point that way, I think. Right, let me explain. I'm a bit of a hybrid. That is, I trained from the age of six. I learned music, and until I was 30, I was in the world of music, but I also studied physical ed, and I remember I was studying fifth year piano, and I was studying physical ed at the same time, and I started to get backaches, and I thought, how strange. I exercise, I understand how my body works, why am I getting backaches? And I never thought of connecting it with my piano playing. And of course, I had exams, so I was practicing more hours than usual. But it just never occurred to me. But then I thought of a possible connection, and I suggested to the university that I could do some research in this area. And this was back in 97. And so I completed my degree at the time, and I started to do some research. And I found that there had been some work done, not here in Spain, but in the US and in other countries, which clearly showed that musicians do suffer because of repeated strain injuries and so on, and as well as other things we've heard this morning about posture and so on. They do suffer from various musculoskeletal problems. And so I thought, okay, let me look at what each musician does with their instrument in terms of posture and movement, and then I can come up with some exercises like I did when I was studying physical ed for elite athletes, top athletes, specialized in very specific sport, and they get special training and exercises to protect their bodies. And so I started to do some research, not just at the Institute, but, well, at that time I was working with other people, but then later at the Institut de Physiologie, I also continued with that research. Everything seemed to be going well, and it seemed that it worked. Because, of course, you have to train and exercise your body, and you have to be aware of the importance of the chair, the lighting, all of these external factors that can also help us prevent injuries, bodily injuries. But then what happened was that I had a deep crisis and in fact, dropped my research. After 4 years of dedication, I dropped it because I got stuck. at a certain point where I realized that when I was going to play, I had trained technically, I felt well physically, and my hands started shaking, I started sweating. I had other things go on that nobody had trained me or told me about. When you learn the technique and so on, I didn't realize that these were signs and symptoms that I could develop in my first performances. And I thought, I've trained, I've practiced, I've tried to prevent injuries, and now I have these symptoms that no one back then was talking about. Now they do, 97, 98, but nobody talked about that. Nobody liked to talk about it because they felt like it was a weakness. They felt that maybe it was only happening to them and no one else. And I just got stuck. I got stuck there and wasn't talking about it and wasn't dealing with it. And I didn't know whether I wanted to share that or could share that. And that's why I stopped. I thought, well, if this research is useless, and even though it does benefit you to work with your body to prevent injuries, and it is crucial, it's not helping me with all these other symptoms. And so after I dropped my research for those 5 years, I started studying psychotherapy. That's 5 years. It's called psycho-bodily integration. And that's when I started to understand these other symptoms. And something which was very obvious, and I wondered why I hadn't seen it before, which was that musicians, of course, are people. First and foremost, they're people. And so they will experience things when they get up in the morning and when they go to the orchestra from their homes, things will happen. And then when they get to the orchestra, those things will continue to affect them because they are people. And so things will happen before, during, after, always. And this is very obvious and very simple and very basic. And yet, for some reason, I hadn't considered it before. You think these are people, and there are several things going on. Obviously, it makes sense that I experience things because I'm alive, and so it's normal for me to sweat, to have feelings. But then you have to try and see how you can change that. Even though you're still an individual, you have to try and be the best version of yourself. Not to be perfect, but to try and be the best version of yourself. It's not about trying to be perfect, because as Martina said earlier, if you strive for perfection, you will feel insecure, mediocre, or what have you. It's about becoming the best version of yourself. And so I took up my research again and started from scratch. Well, not completely, but I did start with an entirely different approach, which was this one. Musicians relate with themselves, obviously, inevitably, but also when they come into contact with other people, they relate with these other people. And so that's that intra-inter, which I've put on the slide. So I relate with myself at the bodily level, but also, of course, if you remember when you took your driver's test, do you remember any of you when you took your driving test? I'm sure that day you had all sorts of symptoms. Perhaps your stomach hurt and you couldn't get the gears to work. So these things which happen within ourselves at the cognitive level, because we're taking a test, also affect us, our bodies, but also our feelings. You will be nervous, you will feel anxious, and so on. But musicians, of course, are also part of a group, obviously. And so they will come into contact with their colleagues, with the conductor, with the hospital's administrator, with the orchestra's administrators, and so on. And this is all in my PhD works, so you can check it on the internet. I didn't want to give you any facts and figures here, but you can check. It is publicly available. And this happens because we're people. And so we perceive ourselves and we perceive others. We believe things about ourselves, but also about others. And then you make choices which affect you, but also others. And all of that is connected to the fact that you are a person, and so it can't be avoided. Since 2005, I've been working at the Institut de Physiologie, and we get a lot of professional musicians from all over the world. So we work a lot with dystonia and so on, and we get people who come to us because they have physical symptoms, normally. But it's interesting when you start talking about them, there's always an underlying emotional component, because they are people. And so we tend to think that the person sitting in front of us, their mission in life was to be born to make our lives difficult or impossible. You can actually come to believe that somebody just doesn't like us, and that's why they have that attitude. And we truly believe that that's what the problem is, that they hate us, they don't like us, and we will make choices based on that belief. And that's what complicates matters, but I'm not going to go into that because Martina earlier explained very well how that works, how misperceptions can affect us at every level. And in this slide, you can see, you may not be able to understand it just now, but this is a chart showing a professional symphony orchestra musician. For 2 months, we collected data every day, actually for several professional symphony orchestra musicians. And what you see here are these three curves in three different colors have to do with their emotional perceptions, their bodily perceptions, and their mental perceptions. And what do we see here? Do you see that the curves are almost parallel? And we collected over 1,000 data points. It's not just one musician, but 13 musicians for 12 months. And with that, you have scientific evidence, because it is completely statistically significant. And so what this shows is that it has been proven scientifically, it's not just an intuition or something that we think or believe. You can demonstrate scientifically that your body, your emotions, and your cognitive functions are connected. The musician is a whole person. You can't separate the three. And so if you work on any of these places, conservatories, symphony orchestras, wherever it is, if you're going to be working with musicians, you have to realize that they are people. And that means that if you're working on their bodies at some point, even if they're working with a physical therapist who's excellent, you will have to realize that they will have contact with other people and feelings and all sorts of other things that will affect them. So you need this holistic approach. Of course, next, you see the same thing but with three different musicians, okay? It's exactly the same thing. And here we've separated the three curves so you can see the traces, but it's exactly the same as you can see. The green button was the pointer, right? This is the musician, M5, M1's a different musician, M7, different musician, and they all took the same tests in the same months, the same repertoire, so the variables were all completely controlled. And what's interesting here, so once again, you can see that all three aspects, cognitive, emotional, and bodily, run exactly parallel. And what's really interesting, I find this fascinating, but I don't have time today to go into it into too much detail, but each of them actually has a different curve, which is our own personal profile. Each musician can identify themselves in this curve. So you can see, for instance, that M1, if you look at them long term, they will probably go through the same curve. These are those fractals, analysis of complex systems. I'm not going to go into this today, but if you're interested, I do recommend that you look into it. It's really interesting. But why am I saying this? Why is this useful? pervasive for a reason. It's not just that musicians are people and they have relationships and you have to have this holistic or comprehensive perspective. But here, for example, you see that there are peaks and troughs, but here there's a big trough, you can see it. And right then, this musician was having a big family problem. We know this because as well as collecting data, they were writing down in a diary what was happening to them. And of course, these musicians did not know what it was we were observing. But here you can see that when you have a difficult problem with a relationship externally, it affects all your other dimensions, even if you don't realize, because when you talk to them, I talked to them later and they didn't realize this, but ultimately this is what you see. So what we do every day is to adapt to a context. When musicians go to the orchestra every day, they have to adapt to the context of their colleagues, their management, everybody that they come into contact with. Why is this important? Because if you don't adapt, if you're not aware of this fact that in the orchestra you don't just have to make sure that the chairs and the lighting are okay, if I don't exercise my body in the right way, but also if you don't realize that relating with others will also affect you, you're leaving out a component which will have an impact, whether you like it or not. And so in this talk, what I wanted to do today was, well, not to give you a lot more data, in fact I won't give you any more data, but I did want to answer a question, and that is, in these 18 years that I've spent doing research, with working with musicians, I'm very fortunate also to work in a university where I can see this every day and in the conservatory. What is the most important lesson that I have drawn from my work with musicians and from this research? And that actually is, first of all, that nothing is what it seems, and that we are all one. And now I'll explain what I mean. Nothing is what it seems, which I'll explain at the end. But I'll give you some hints now. So initially, I thought, well, I do generally train with symphony orchestras all over Spain, and I thought, because of those rumors that Martina was talking about, I thought that orchestra musicians would all be frustrated soloists and so on. That's what I had heard. But then I had also heard that orchestra managers were horrible people you should try and avoid, who did not understand artists, who sat in their offices all day, and so on and so forth. I had also heard that conductors, well, all sorts of things about conductors, I'm not going to go into it, but some musicians did tell me about conductors. How did it go? Oh, I forgot. Well, that there was a conductor who helped them flow, who helped them feel part of a whole, and then there's another type of conductor who just crushed them, who dragged them down. And we'll see a very brief example in a minute. But essentially, what I mean is simply that what we have found with this research in the dissertation, it was very clear. We found that musicians are passionate about their work. Of the 110 musicians we interviewed, you can see that being a musician, they gave a score of 8.81 on average. And these are musicians from different orchestras and different nationalities. To play their instrument, the level of satisfaction, 8.5 out of 10. And when you ask them what music was for them, 83% of them, this is a sample of 90 because a few didn't answer, replied in writing, this was an open question, what is music to you? And they replied, life, communication, and a job that I enjoy.
And so
these musicians do feel fulfilled. They love their work. They're passionate about their work. They enjoy playing and being a musician. And then I thought, okay, maybe then what doesn't work is dealing with other musicians. But actually, we see scores of 6. 81% of them prefer to perform with others rather than alone. They like to feel part of a group. They do feel this sense of belonging. And their degree of satisfaction with conductors and administrators gets a score of about 5. So what does all of this mean? That they are happy with their workplace and they're not frustrated soloists. And so when you have this sense of satisfaction, there's less stress, more well-being. But I thought, well, if all of this works, why are there conflicts? Why is there stress? The problems are not because you don't get along with musicians in your orchestra. You may have problems with one individual, maybe two. And so one of them, for instance, said, if you see a colleague who doesn't greet you, and then you have to perform next to them, it hurts your heart. He says it's a lot worse than physical tiredness. It's easier to play for longer if you feel comfortable. It's clear that this affects you. And the other, about the administrator, says when manager is aggressive, my first feeling is that I cannot fail pressure. And physically, I had never thought of it until a few years ago because I didn't feel it. But now I know that it does mean that I accumulate tension. This, I think, is very descriptive, and it is connected to everything that we've been saying. And in that last slide, you can see those causes of stress that they perceive as the most serious. First has to do with longer rehearsal hours. The second is a difficult relationship with a conductor. And the third says difficult relationship with colleagues. And well, below that, you have more performances, traveling, changes in the orchestral repertoire, and others. And so again, you can look after their bodies, you can make sure that their chairs and their lighting is the right one, but there is always this difficulty with personal relationships. And so in conclusion, we go back to what I was saying at the beginning, and that we're all one and nothing is what it seems. We're all one because if a musician, these three points are a single musician, body, mind, emotions, and this is a musician, what happens to me will affect the group, and what affects the group will eventually affect me. And some of the musicians even said, we are all one, literally, and they also said, that there were magic moments. And this actually happened with several musicians. I haven't explained this. I was interviewing them, always in private, obviously. And several times this word came up, this magic moment. It's a magic moment. And you know what that moment was? It was precisely when they were all performing and they felt part of a single entity, something strong, powerful, sublime orchestra. But it wasn't just them. Myself, my section, the other sections, the conductor, the audience, they also said that the audience was part of this living, breathing organism. That's what they aspired to. And that's where, and that's why I'm here, because I believe in these magic moments. It's not about enlightenment or anything weird like that. I'm still a researcher, I still play, feet firmly planted in the ground, but I do believe in the magic, because what I've seen working with musicians and orchestra managers, and I've spoken to them alone and with conductors alone and with musicians, they all strive for the same thing. They all want to enjoy the music, they want to feel this magic, but you just have to understand how to bring it about. And there is a very relevant part which is connected to myself, and that is, what kind of a musician do I want to become? What am I willing to do as a musician, as a manager, as a conductor, to help bring about this moment of magic? And the question, and that's what I was getting at to finish, is what's already available to me right now so that I change the way I am, the way I act, the way I share, to enable this, to make the world a slightly better place and the orchestra a slightly better place. And it's about me, it's not about my colleague. And it's about the type of musician that I would like to become and the type of manager that I'd like to become. And to finish, there is a word that comes to mind, which is Ubuntu, which a psychologist told me. Let me just read it to finish. Desmond Tutu spoke about Ubuntu and said that somebody with Ubuntu is open and available to others, supports others, does not feel threatened when others are capable and good at something, but they are sure of themselves because they know that they belong to a great whole. It's a South African word. It's where someone becomes human, and we are because everybody is. And so I want you to feel that you can open doors, and that each one of us, by changing ourselves, will help make the orchestra a better place. So let's do that. Thank you.